Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Congratulations are in order to Coca-Cola, once again proving strong in the soft drink category. Number one in the 2022 ranking is Coca-Cola. Now my Coke Zero is all the way down to seventh. We have Coca-Cola, we have Diet Coke number two, Pepsi Max number three, Schweppes Lemonade. Schweppes Lemonade up to number four. R. White's down one to number five. Pepsi down one to number six. Coke Zero, of course, moved up. Up one from eight to seven. Diet Pepsi down one to eighth. Schweppes Lime Cordial stayed the same at nine, and Red Bull stayed the same as number 10. All data provided by CGA for the 12 months to October 2022. Now, CGA is an insight and research consultancy to food and drink businesses across the globe. So you can trust them 100%. So now, if you're still drinking Coca-Cola, you are drinking the number one soft drink, according to CGA. I am still stuck on number seven with Coca-Cola Zero Sugar as, you know, my go-to drink. But if you're drinking Diet Coke, Pepsi Max, Schweppes Lemonade, R. White's, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Schweppes Lime Cordial, or Red Bull, you're still in the top 10, so you should be feeling good about yourself. I know. Me too. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So I've talked many times about Jay Shetty and his book and life as Think Like a Monk. And I'm a fan. I want to think like a monk. I believe I want to think like a monk even more in today's world. So there's a Buddhist temple in Thailand, and four Buddhist monks have been shipped off to rehab after they all tested positive for meth. The holy men, including the temple's abbot or head monk, failed the drug tests in the province of Bong Sam Thon district on Monday. The temple is now empty of monks, and nearby villagers are concerned they cannot do any merit making. What's the problem? We need a monk to come in. Police forced the monks to undergo urine tests after they raided the temple as part of the province's crackdown on drugs. I'm not sure what made them think that the temple was a drug haven, but they did, and they were. The monks who have been named have since been sent to a health clinic to undergo drug rehab. They were also immediately booted from the monkhood. Wait, what? Yes. Merit-making is a Buddhist practice that involves followers donating food to monks as a good deed. Backup monks are being sent to the temple so villagers can still practice their religious obligations. That's good, because anytime you are someplace where people give you free food to feel good about themselves, I'm all for it, whether you're a Thai monk or not. They didn't say that they found any drugs stashed at the temple, so they just know that Thailand is a major transit country for methamphetamine flooding into neighboring nations. And so it's a terrible place, and now we even have the monks smoking meth. They don't know that they were traffickers. They were just drug addicted monks smoking meth in Thailand. Now we do know that, well, I guess this is where they found out that they might have a problem. The drug addled monk named Farrar and Apollo was arrested earlier in the month after allegedly carjacking two vehicles and leading the cops on a frantic chase. He's facing, he's facing jail time, car theft. He's going to be charged under Thailand's Narcotic Act. So he was high, obviously, when he was doing it, which led them to think that, hey, I bet he's not the only monk doing meth. So, man, how bad do you want to live like a monk now? And look, if you're doing it right, or think like a monk, as Jay Shetty's book, if you're doing it right, you absolutely would be, you know, you need, it would be cool. I could see myself as a monk. I know. I don't look at me like that. I could see myself as a monk. But, I mean, if you're just going to become a monk to smoke meth, that seems like it would not be the thing to do. Maybe it's just me. There was an incredible story out of Fort Worth that they're calling, you know, an early Christmas miracle. But a woman who disappeared over five decades ago was found in Fort Worth this week. Melissa Highsmith went missing when she was kidnapped by a babysitter at her parents' Fort Worth home in 1971. She was just 22 months old at the time of her disappearance. What is she, Rapunzel? I mean, did she have golden hair? Did she heal people? I don't know. I don't know. But over the next 51 years, the family and police searched for her, and they followed up on recent tips about a possible sighting in North Carolina. In the end, however, Melissa was found living in Fort Worth under the name of Melanie Walden. The Highsmith family said that a DNA test ended up being the key that led them to Melissa. Our finding Melissa was purely because of DNA, not because of any police or FBI involvement or podcast involvement or even our family's own private investigations or speculations. Okay, none of you worked, okay? You're a bunch of losers. Leave us alone. You couldn't find our kid. So they met for the first time in over 50 years, 51 years of separation. That's pretty amazing. It was good to see what I looked like as a baby as she sits next to her parents looking at photos of her she's never seen before. It's overwhelming, but at the same time, it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. Wow, they're still trying to process it all. Imagine if you lost your child. I mean, at any time would be horrific, but then to know that you believe that they're still alive and you still continue to search for them and you find them. Wow. So I guess a tip came from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, reported that she had possibly been seen in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, that tip didn't pan out, but it put Melissa's story back in the national spotlight and gave the family the strength to keep looking. So eventually, a DNA test from 23andMe connected Melissa's children with their family. When her family reached out to her on Facebook, Melissa thought it was a scam. My father texted me on Messenger, and he told me, you know, I've been looking for my daughter for 51 years. This whole time, I never really knew my real family was searching for me. The person that raised me, I asked her, is there anything you need to tell me? And it was confirmed that she knew that I was baby Melissa, so that it just made it real. She then agreed to take the DNA test on Thanksgiving and reunited with her brothers and parents. So the lady that took her, no information has been released about her kidnapper. Yeah, what happens to them? Hello, you kidnapped this person for 50 years, made them believe that they were someone else. When does that stop? I mean, after 20 years, you're an adult, right? Or 21 years, whatever the case is. She was almost 2 years old at the time. And so once you're an adult, does that mean the kidnapping goes away? Is there a statute of limitations? Just amazing. But good for the family for finally finding their daughter, and the daughter finally finding her real parents, not knowing about it that there were her real parents. I mean, the whole thing was a lie. But it's amazing that the family, it was the DNA and a false spotting of her that brought her back into the spotlight. But they made a point of saying, let me tell you, it wasn't because of any police or FBI involvement, podcast involvement, or even our family's own private investigations or speculations. So amazing. Good for the Highsmiths. Good for them for finally finding their daughter. And wow, what about so many years of lost time with your child and the child with the parents. Incredible. So it is almost, if not a Christmas miracle, pretty close. Pretty close. Now, you know, unless they don't like each other. What happens if they don't? You know, they sit down with each other over the holidays here, and then they realize, yeah, I don't really like you. I know you're my parents, but I don't like you. So I'm out. Take care. Don't call me again. I don't think that would be a miracle. That's just me. Maybe that's just me. So we talked today on Pat Unleashed, and I think it was overtime, where we talked about in China, they have these huge high-rises that are pig farms. And that's how they're raising their pork in China, in these high-rise buildings. Man, that has got to smell good. And 60% of U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by the Chinese. And their hogs are giving something called ractopamine, which happens to be banned in 160 countries, including China. Yet you can find it in your grocery aisle here in the U.S. every day. There is a better way. I'd like to tell you about Moink. That's moo plus oink. Moink. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did. And as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better. From small family farms to your dining table, Moink gives you access to the freshest, sustainably sourced meat and fish, all while supporting American family farms. The Moink difference is a difference you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent. You choose the meat delivered in every box: ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, salmon fillets, and so much more. Plus, you can cancel at any time. I love getting the Moink box delivered to the house, and you bring it into the kitchen, you open it up, and you start going through it, and you're looking at the chicken breasts, and the ribeyes, and the pork chops, and the salmon fillets, and the bacon. I love the bacon. The Moink bacon is probably, I don't know, it's the best bacon I've ever had. It is delicious. I mean, Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. He's 100% correct. Ring doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. I'll tell you another thing that Moink guarantees that you will say to yourself, no way. And then once you open that box and you start going through the ribeyes and the chicken breasts and the pork chops and the salmon fillets and the bacon, you are going to say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee from Moink that you will say, oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked. Keep America farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Jeffy right now. Listeners to this show get free filet mignon in every order for a year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you're ever going to taste, but it's for a limited time. So get there now. moinkbox.com/Jeffy. M-O-I-N-K box.com/J-E-F-F-Y. Moinkbox.com/Jeffy. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. So we know that the holiday season, it's the holiday season. We know that according to the National Retail Federation, they define the holiday season November 1st through December 31st. Now, this past, we talked about Black Friday sales being up. We talked about Cyber Monday sales being up. And we also now know that a record number of holiday shoppers went out back to stores and hunted for deals on Thanksgiving Day. 196 point million shoppers shopped out there. It's pretty incredible. Now, they didn't estimate the spending, but when you look at some of the bargains and the deals, they talk about shoppers spend an average of $325 on holiday-related purchases over the weekend. Last year, the weekend was $301. So things are going good, right? You know how good it's going? Now, I will say that it does take me back to what you could quote me on from yesterday's show. I'm sure that the 196.7 million people who flocked back to stores hunting for deals from Thanksgiving Day to Cyber Monday and then spent an average of $325 on holiday-related purchases definitely got more for less. They spent more for less product. I promise you that. I know what we spent and what we received, and it was definitely spending more for less. And since we're talking about the holidays, I see where Spam has their new figgy pudding, which looks delicious. I mean, holy cow. You think the holidays, you want some figgy pudding with the warm spices and seasonal ingredients that will be the star in many wintertime recipe favorites. With notes of cinnamon and nutmeg combined with fig and orange flavors, you'll taste true holiday comfort that will have you caroling all season long. And they've created here on the Spam website a song from the Spam people. I didn't realize that Spam had these little spammy characters. There's a pig, and a reindeer, and some elves, and they're singing "We Wish You a Figgy Christmas." And man, if nothing will get you into the holiday spirit.
The makers of Spam present "We Wish You a Figgy Christmas."
Oh, yeah.
"Good tidings we bring to you and your kin.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a fantastic New Year."
Oh, Santa's there, too.
"Bring us some figgy pudding. Bring us some figgy pudding."
Wait, what is figgy pudding?
I think it's some kind of holiday treat.
"From yesteryear, tidings we bring to you and your kin."
Maybe it's like a spread.
"Or a tasty fruit smear."
We'll go to get some.
"Please, sir, may I have some?"
"I think I taste some."
Oh, that was the pig. Oh, no.
"Tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a fantastic New Year. We all like our figgy pudding.
It's a nice reward for two pudding.
A break from Mrs. Claus's cooking."
Hey.
"Oh, with all its good cheers.
Good evenings we bring to you in this tin. We wish you a figgy pudding."
Yeah! "And a spamtastic New Year."
Oh, isn't that beautiful? That was the Bumble. That was the giant Bumble singing at the end. So, man, that nothing says the holidays like have a spamtastic New Year, right? I know. I don't know if this is good news or bad news from the Oscars, but I'll let you decide whether you think it's good news or bad news. Last year, remember, they cut out eight awards from the show, eight categories, the awards from the show: the original score, makeup, hairstyling, documentary short, film editing, production design, animated short, live action short, and sound. And those were cut from the main telecast. And I guess that brought outrage from across the film industry. So now Bill Kramer, CEO of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, no, not scientists, what am I saying? The sciences, they're not scientists, although many of them believe they are. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences announced that he could confirm He did this exclusively to Variety. I can confirm that all categories will be included in the live telecast. Oh, how much do you want to watch the Oscars now? I mean, okay, sure. Jimmy Kimmel's going to come back for a third time to host. We'll just be able to, executive producers are there for the 95th Academy Awards, March 12th, 2023, live from the Dolby Theater at Ovation Hollywood. The ceremony will be televised live on ABC and in more than 200 territories. So they're not cutting anything out, and you're going to get it all from the beginning to the end because of the outrage that ensued after cutting some of those categories. I don't understand. I mean, why don't they just do the whole thing from the red carpet to the black carpet? Is that what they call it when everybody leaves, the black carpet? To the exiting. And all the awards and all the parties and all the accesses and side interviews, all of it on one of the streaming platforms. And then the live broadcast could be 2 hours, prime time, we're good. Have a nice day. We'll all sit down for 2 hours of the Oscars. We'll watch the big ones, and we'll move on with our lives. And if you want to watch the person who got the animated short or the film editing, which I'm not opposed to, I probably will watch it, me personally. But for primetime ABC, I'm guessing 2 hours is enough. You get the numbers up, and maybe they go back, and then, you know, the Oscar website can just post each category as a separate YouTube clip on their YouTube page. Oh, my gosh. You mean that would mean the film industry would be integrating with the new streaming and internet, and that would have to work together? Oh, I can't. I won't hear of it. It's just silly. It's just silly. Now may be a good time to go down to Miami and buy a nightclub. I'm just thinking out loud. I was reading a story where Miami nightclubs have been rocked by the absence of big spending crypto whales among the market's deep freeze. So apparently nightclubs in the city became the home away from a home for the crypto entrepreneurs who, when times were good, they would rent out venues for $500,000 and order top shelf champagne. And so, you know, they all spent all kinds of money. In fact, one club, E11 Club, that accepted payment in cryptocurrency, processed $6 million, more than $6 million, worth of transactions last year. In the last 3 months, it's taken in less than $10,000. Woo! That hurts. I don't care. I guess the nerdy style guys are all hurting with their crypto money. So we're not going to the bars. We got no crypto money. I mean, Miami was the magic city, right? It went all in on crypto. They were buying up drawings with crypto. The mayor, Francis Suarez, has removed his laser eyes from his Twitter profile. Miami-Dade County has asked a federal judge to end the Miami Heat Arena's naming rights deal with bankrupt FTX, and the city's personal token, Miami Coin, has dropped 99% from its peak value. So, as I was saying, might be a good time, just maybe a good time to go down to Miami and look around and, you know, buy a bar, because you could probably get a really good price on it. And, you know, then times will roll back in. It'll be okay. But you're not used to the old crypto money, because the crypto money probably isn't coming back. But I don't know. I'm not an investor. Don't take your investment advice from me. I'm just guessing. It's possible the crypto money isn't coming back. Now, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR. Facebook and Instagram is Jeff Fisher Radio. If you are listening to this show right now and you are not a subscriber, what are you doing? I appreciate you listening. And you're listening on your friend's device, you know, and that's fine. And wherever your friend is subscribed to the show, but you need to get on your device and subscribe to the show. Okay. It's free. So, you know, just subscribe. Look, right now you're a freeloader. Nobody likes a freeloader. Subscribe on your own device and it's free. Everybody loves that. Everybody wants free stuff. Nobody likes a freeloader. So make that happen. I see where, and this is sad news as well. And I really don't mean that it's sad news, because there's some big story that talks about Jim Carrey saying he's leaving Twitter. Oh no. What will I do? The thing is, they never leave. So, Jim, if you're going to go, bye. Talk to you later. He said, I'm leaving Twitter, but first, here's a cartoon I made with my friend Jimmy Hayward. It's based on my painting of a crazy old lighthouse keeper standing naked in a storm, summoning the angels and shining his lamp to guide us through a treacherous night. I love you all so much. Well, geez, Jim, thank you. And we love you right back. Bye. I probably shouldn't leave without letting you hear the great work of Jim Carrey and his painting brought to life. Oh, yes. His friend Jimmy Hayward. Old crazy lighthouse keeper. Standing naked in a storm, summoning the angels, shining his lamp to guide us through a treacherous night.
This place with light, and all that's good and all that's right.
Oh, it's a naked lighthouse person.
Angels fill this place with light. Angels guide them through the gale. Hold fast the stitching in their sail. And I will burn my lantern bright till the break of day. Sweet angels, hear me pray.
Oh, man. Oh, it's really great. And he's got the lighthouse keeper giving everybody the finger on one hand and holding up some strange concoction of fingers on the other. It's awesome. That's awesome. Jim, we'll miss you. We will miss you. And I mean, I'll try to be sad, and I don't. I'll try. I promise. I promise this, Jim. I'll try to be sad. All right, who died today? Who died today? Very sad. Clarence Gilliard Jr., dead at 66 years of age. Now, you remember Clarence from Walker, Texas Ranger. He was in Matlock, one of my all-time favorite lines in the world coming from Ben Matlock. Murder is a messy business. It wasn't Clarence Gilliard Jr., though. He played the detective. And in Die Hard, he was the... Remember in Die Hard, he was the computer genius, the smart guy that knew how to get into the safe. Clarence Gilliard Jr., very sad. He died at the age of 66. He died in his home in Las Vegas, Nevada. He apparently... we haven't claimed what killed him yet. Huh. But apparently he had not been in good health for a few years. I know what you're thinking, and don't do it. It has nothing to do with the vaccine. So shut up. Okay. Just shut up. He was working at the university. All right. He's got 30 years of acting under his belt, and he was a professor at the university. Man, he was in a lot of movies, man. Top Gun, Die Hard. He did a lot of really good stuff. Anyway, he was a professor in Las Vegas, contributed to the College of Fine Arts at UNLV Community, and he was married to Elena Gilliard, his current wife, and then he was called Professor G at UNLV, Professor G, And according to UNLV, he was a beacon of light and strength for everyone around him. I believe it. He seemed like a really nice man. I wish I had met him before. Clarence Gilliard Jr., dead at the age of 66. Rest in peace. Then we have country singer Jake Flint, dead at 37. Died in his sleep hours after being married. There are video posts of the happy couple dancing, and now the wife is like, I don't understand. Oklahoma singer-songwriter Jake Flint, 37, died in his sleep hours after exchanging wedding vows on Saturday night. His wedding to Brenda Flint took place at a remote homestead near Tulsa. Everyone is really, really sad. The cause of his death has not yet been confirmed. Don't do it. Don't go there. Stop thinking like that. Don't think to yourself, aha, there's another one from the vaccine. You don't know that. It doesn't say. It doesn't say that, okay? It just says that we don't know. The cause of death is yet to be determined. So, could have been something else. So, stop thinking about that, okay? So, Jake Flint, country singer and songwriter, dead. At the age of 37. So there's always, you know, interesting crime stories around America every day. This one happened in Fresno, in downtown Fresno, in a bank, Wells Fargo, on Fresno Street and Van Ness Avenue. If you know Fresno, you know right where that is. And so a man using a walker went into the Wells Fargo on Fresno Street and Van Ness Avenue. And he's a 68-year-old man, an unnamed 68-year-old man, and using a walker, he went into the bank, approached a teller with a note demanding money. The teller gave him $200 and included a tracker with the cash. The man left, headed west towards Fulton Street. And like I said, if you know Fresno, you know exactly where that is. Officers were in the area, and along with the help of the bank tracker and his slow movement, they were able to locate him on Fulton Street, just north of Fresno Street. He hadn't gotten very far. And he was arrested without incident. And good news, the money was recovered. It doesn't say the man's name. It doesn't say what he needed the money for. I don't know if he needed it for rent. I don't know if he needed it for drugs or booze or what or why. I want to know why he went into the bank and demanded the money and thought he could get away with it. Plus a tracker. I mean, you got to be smarter than that. I know you're on a walker and, you know, you're moving kind of slow, but you know, you got to be smarter than that. You have to be. And they gave you $200. The tracker can't be that. I mean, you have to realize that the tracker is with the money. You have to, right? Don't you? I feel like you do. For those of you that have been waiting for Prince Harry's tell-all autobiography, I know. Yeah, I can see right now the way you're looking that you've been thinking about buying the autobiography Spare when it hits the bookshelves. Well, now the audiobook is not going to be available until January 10th. However, if you sign up for the Amazon Audible, you can get your free trial of their audiobook service, and Spare can be one of your free audiobooks, and you will have access to it after January 10th. Kind of cool, huh? I know. I mean, I definitely want to read it. I will see. We'll see what comes of it. I mean, I know the Royals are all wound up about it. In fact, the Royals are so wound up about it that you have Kate and William, the future king and queen, coming to the United States this month, and Harry and Meghan are not going to even see them. They're going to be in the same neck of the woods a couple weeks later, but they're not showing up to see Kate and Bill. Unbelievable. So we'll see if they don't meet up or not. That's pretty strange if they don't. Kate and William are going to be in Boston for the second annual Earthshot Prize Award ceremony. And the Sussexes, you know, Harry and Meghan, is likely they'll still be in California. Okay. You guys are coming to New York the next week. Why don't you, you know, come up early and hang out with us for a little while? Nope. Not going to happen. How about you stop in and you talk to me a little bit about the book and what's happening with that, since I'm, you know, the future king and you're going to be writing about me and I haven't seen you since grandma's funeral? Nope. Oh, okay. I mean, I am a huge fan of the Earthshot program. This is wonderful. The Earthshot offers $1.2 million. £1 million in prize money to winners of five separate categories: nature protection, clean air, ocean revival, waste elimination, and climate change. The winners and all 15 finalists will also receive help in expanding their projects to meet global demand. Oh, that's so special. They're going to be in there. That's something that Harry and Meghan should be able to get behind. And, you know, it's kind of a big deal, this Earthshot Prize Award ceremony. So they should show up. And it should happen. That's all. It should happen. I don't know if money is going to be given to the scientists that tell us now, these two Manitoba researchers who are published in the Journal of Mammalogy. And I love the Journal of Mammalogy. It shows that rising climate has led to changes to the sperm of male squirrels in the Canadian prairies and the feet of squirrels in South Africa. And we are saying that this is happening because of climate change. Okay. Now, I will say this. Now, maybe they get some Earthshot money from William and Kate. I don't know. But according to this, because of the change in climate, it's left many squirrels shooting blanks. Really? Yeah. And their cousins in African countries are growing larger feet. Now, they claim this is because of global warming. Okay. So how is it affecting? Are we having less children? Well, no. We're not having less children. What? Yeah. No. But it's because humans need to be mindful of all effects of climate change. Okay. Even the small ones. That means that maybe they are adapting a little bit, but they, you know, it's fine. I don't understand why this is a big deal. So according to this, they started their research, this fellow researcher Maya Warrington, last year when they found that some of Richardson's male ground squirrels, species found throughout the Canadian prairies, were coming up out of hibernation following a particularly warm winter with sperm unable to swim. While the non-motile sperm did not lead to fewer young born later that year. Wait, what? Yeah, but other negative consequences of males shooting blanks may emerge in other species or situations. So it didn't matter. They came out and we shot blanks, but then you know what? We went ahead and everything changed and we still had a bunch of kids. It's just incredible. Now, they claim that the bigger feet on the African squirrels are happening because it's warmer out and they make their bigger feet makes them cool down faster. Smaller body, bigger feet, they cool down faster. I can go on record right now and telling you that I need a smaller body and bigger feet to cool down faster. Now, I've, you know, I wear a size 13, 14. My feet are, you know, big enough. My hands are big enough. But I need to, you know, I need a smaller body to cool down faster. Maybe this study can help me out. But temperatures have risen all over the world. And the climate change is an important factor in future Manitoba highway planning. We've got everything. It doesn't matter. Anything that you do has to be under the guise of climate change. It's amazing to me, this story. I love this story because changes to squirrel semen, feet, a sign of climate change. But nothing is happening. The squirrels are evolving a little bit. And the sperm that's shooting blanks. Okay, so they're shooting more blanks, but they're still having the same amount of kids. So is that why? Is that because we have more women squirrels now? We're out looking for a little squirrel business. We came out of hibernation, and there better be some squirrel business to do. Okay. I'm shooting blanks, but I still want to be shooting. I mean, that's what this... whenever you come out of hibernation, that don't matter if you're shooting blanks or not, you're still looking for business. You're still looking for some shooting to go on. Okay? So maybe, I don't know, maybe these people can get some money from the Earthshot program with William and Kate. You know, get this to the world, because this, we need to know this. We need to have everything that we do be under the guise of climate change. Okay? All right. I mean, that needs to happen. You know that as well as I do, right? You can always email the show, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. I'll leave you with a joke that was sent to me last night over an email, chewingthefat@theblaze.com, from John. And it's not funny. All right? This is not the kind of joke I want to use, but it's about the post office. Okay. And John, you know, John is emailing me, letting me know, hey, you want to be the next postmaster general? Well, yes, I want to be on the board of governors for the post office. No question. Okay. But this is the joke. Okay. An ex-GI applies for a job at the post office. In the interview, he tells the supervisor about his disability. He lost his testicles to a sniper in Afghanistan. It doesn't have anything to do with climate change. The supervisors say no problem and ask if he has any problem with drugs or alcohol. No way. No way. I'm a devout Mormon. I don't use alcohol or caffeine. The supervisor says, you're hired. See you tomorrow at 10 a.m. I thought you guys started work at 8 a.m. Yeah, the supervisor said, yeah, you know, it's a government job, so we spend the first 2 hours drinking coffee and scratching ourselves, so you don't have to come in for that. See what I mean? Terrible. Just terrible.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.